Like Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich. Imagine strolling amid Linden Sculpture Garden's humanoid figures and fiberglass animals and encountering 99 percussionists. The musicians contribute their bodies to the visual art and use the landscaping as their concert shell. You stand in the center of it all, soaking up the art of sound and scene. That's the ambiance Linden and Present Music hope to achieve during tomorrow's performance of John Luther Adams's Inuksuit. Linden Executive Director Polly Morris and Present Music Artistic Director Kevin Stahlheim previewed the experience with Lake Effect's Amy Kiley, and Polly Morris explained what sparked the collaboration.
Well, I'm always looking for new ways to see the garden, to see the sculpture in it. And I think that extends to things like dance and music. And when Kevin came with the idea of doing the John Luther Adams piece that actually disperses 99 percussionists across the ground, it seemed like a fantastic way to get people to look at the garden in a different way. I also like the idea that the piece is considered a monumental piece, and Linden, of course, is full of monumental sculpture, so it's the meeting of the monumentalities.
Kevin Stahlheim, what is the sound experience of Inuksuit in that the audience is moving among the performers in an open-air environment?
Yeah, I think it's going to be different every second for every person in every part of the garden. So to describe it is sort of a difficult thing to do. It's truly one of these things where you have to be there. And the piece has been written so that it is supposed to be performed outdoors. It's been performed in places like Central Park, New York, in Alaska, in the wilderness, all over the place. So there can be extraneous sounds, but the gardens are pretty quiet. Hopefully there'll be some birds there. And so I think it'll be more of a nature experience, but the actual percussion sounds, the percussionists will sometimes be gathered together, and oftentimes they go apart and off into the gardens, really spread apart. And the audience, depending on where they're standing, they're going to hear different things at different times.
I know in big churches with an organ at the back and singers up front, musicians can drag the tempo, not quite play together because of the time it takes the sound to travel. For your piece, how will the performers manage to stay together, especially during tempo changes?
Yeah, it's not a traditional piece in that way. There's not a conductor that's keeping the whole group together. It's more that there are segments of time, let's say 1 minute of this, 2 minutes of that. And when you hear certain things, it triggers you to do different things or to change to another thing. So it's not that we need to stay together, but it is interesting that there is one overall tempo. It's an internal tempo. It doesn't need to be perfect. It's like within each person's mind, it's a general tempo, but it's not like we're playing exactly together.
Polly Morris, some research shows people experience music differently if they can see the performers. If audience members choose to look at Linden's art instead of the performers, how do you think that will change their experience with the music?
Well, I think it's it kind of enhances the fundamental synesthesia that we all experience. And I love the idea of putting music and art together in that context. I think that it'll be very profound for some people.
Is any of Linden's art especially fitting for the performance?
Well, I mean, the monumentality of it, I think, is really key because, almost everything in the sculpture garden was made in the 60s and 70s, which was a very optimistic era in art making when people were unafraid to make large, very large pieces of work and put them outside and believe they will last forever, which they don't without a great deal of care. And I think some of that optimism comes into Adams's work when he does something so large and that requires so many people and so much space.
Actually, Inuksuit is an Inuit word. The composer's from Alaska. And so Inuksuit is actually inspired by Inuit stone sculptures that were like markers. And in that way, it's kind of interesting to think of, we're going to be out there in this landscape and there'll be all of these sculptures. They're not stone markers, ancient stone markers, but I think they have sort of an interesting similarity to the idea of the original idea of what Inuksuit was actually inspired by in the Inuits and their stone markers.
Polly Morris, along those lines, so both percussion performances and art are enthralling, but we can't touch them. How do you think that the audience will see the performers themselves as artistic pieces during this experience?
Well, first of all, we do let people touch the sculpture at Linden. We just ask that they don't climb on it, and we hope that none of the musicians will make the mistake of climbing on it because some of them are pretty fragile. But I think that, the eye is constantly composing, and when you look and you see musicians there and you see beautiful trees and there will be birds, as Kevin said, flying around, I think you will be constantly making compositions in your mind.
Maybe we should let the audience touch the musicians. I think that's an idea.
That's up to you.
But I like the idea that they're like they are like sculptures because they're not walking around while they actually play usually. And so, there'll be like 90 people playing different kinds of instruments in a stationary way, which really does, I think, fit among the sculptures in an interesting way.
Yeah,
visually.
It completely recasts the way you would see the sculpture garden.
Kevin Stahlheim, percussion involves striking or some kind of gesture like that, and it resonates in the body. How does the composer make use of kind of the tactile element of those instruments?
Well, this piece uses a lot of amazingly diverse instruments. There will be tom-toms and people banging on tom-toms like you can imagine sort of a marching band doing, and cymbals and things like that. But also there'll be rubbing of stones and whirly tubes, the whirly tubes that go different pitches, things like that, sirens, conch shells. I have a conch shell right here, and I know I think people know this sound, kind of a Call of the Wild sound, but it sounds like this. And so we're going to have those all over the place. And so there's a lot of untraditional percussion instruments in combination with the more traditional instruments. And actually, we're going to have some piccolo players. They actually are going to be playing bird songs that are indigenous. They're indigenous to wherever you do the piece. So there'll be Wisconsin bird songs that you would hear as part of this piece also.
So how does the composer merge pitched and unpitched percussion instruments in the piece?
Well, there's just a variety. I wouldn't know if I would say how, because it's different every time you do it. But there will be pitched things. One is bells, orchestra bells, and the other are gongs. There will be some gongs, but mostly, and then those flutes. The piccolo is playing those bird songs, but mostly it's not pitched in this traditional sense of the word. It's mostly, sounds, maracas, stones, like I said, tom-toms, cymbals, and things being played sort of in an unusual way. It's not a traditional piece of music. I think it's more like going for a walk in an exotic, forest or something, and you don't know what you're going to hear, and it's just I think will be exciting and interesting to just see what happens next, and then to see how it fits in context with where you are, with what you're looking at the time, and what part of the piece it is.
So does the piece have a written score?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's aleatoric, which means it has directions, and those directions are followed, but they're not going to sound the same every time. And so there are some, for instance, like tom-tom parts, very complicated, actually, rhythms that are played. And then there are times where it's actually just people breathing in and out, like through, I'm not sure what they're breathing in and out of. I'm sort of forgetting if it's like a... I think they're going to actually make these paper, like megaphone things, and so like a sound like those kinds of sounds will be amplified, and so that's not notated, obviously, like a regular musical note. Conch shells, it just says blow the conch shell, whereas like for the bells, you'll be playing precisely bird songs, some bird songs on the bells, but it's a mix of non-traditional and traditional musical ideas.
So for both of you, do you have a favorite moment in the piece, and do you have a favorite place in the garden where you would hear the piece?
I haven't heard the whole piece yet, and I certainly haven't heard it outdoors. I've only heard some recordings, so I'm looking forward to this. I'm sure there are particular places in the garden that will be really interesting in relation to the water, and we just put a new old sculpture in the ground that creates a kind of 21-foot square cube, 21-foot in all dimension cube, that has this whole energetic space in the middle, and I think it'll be interesting to listen from there.
I also have never heard the piece. I mean, it's not the kind of piece you put on a CD and listen to it, but it's really something that is meant to be experienced live. It's an event, and it's a installation. And so, yeah, I've never heard it. First time we'll rehearse it is on Friday. We have like 99 percussionists coming from all over the country, and we'll be rehearsing it for the first time, and then also on Saturday. There's no way I could say what my favorite spot is right now, and I think it's sort of up to the audience. They're sort of participating so that, you know, they can change what they're hearing by moving. And so in a way, they're participating, you know, at the same time as the musicians are.
And as Kevin mentioned, we have 99 percussionists coming to town, and the community members, present music members, Linden members have all volunteered to house these many, many percussionists. So it's become a larger community event as well.
I think it's a little like the Harley event. It's the word little is good, but it is really a lot like it. Because what it is it's percussionists coming from all over the country. And why would they do that? I mean, they're coming here. They're not being paid. It's like a happening. And they know that it's going to be special to do this piece because hardly anyone takes the energy to organize such a thing. So they're coming. They're driving from far away, and we're putting them up in people's homes. And so I think it's a lot like the Harley thing in the sense that, you know, if people come in here, probably one of the largest ever percussion ensembles ever in Wisconsin's history, I'm sure, in an amazing space like the Linden Gardens, which I'm really sort of happy that a lot of people that should know don't know about Linden, because that means they're going to come to this. And that's such a special place. So to discover that and this piece of music with all these percussionists is really going to be a very unique event, I think, in Milwaukee history.
Polly Morris of Linden Sculpture Garden and Kevin Stahlheim of Present Music, thanks for being on Lake Effect.
Thank you.
Present Music presentation of John Luther Adams's Inuksuit takes place at the Linden Sculpture Garden tomorrow afternoon. Kevin Stahlheim is Artistic Director of Present Music, and Polly Morris is Executive Director of the Linden Sculpture Garden. They spoke with Amy Kiley. The music we're hearing, by the way, is a sneak peek from an Inuksuit CD that's due out in late October. You'll find links to more about tomorrow's performance at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And speaking of tomorrow, that is when you will hear us next. We are produced by Stephanie Lecce, Dan Harmon, Amy Kiley, and the vacationing Bonnie North, with the production assistance of Eleanor Peterson, Nathan Royster, and studio engineer John Strelecki. I'm Mitch Teich. Enjoy the weekend, and I hope you'll make us a part of it. Lake Effect Weekend airs Saturday and Sunday afternoon at 3 on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. It's 11 o'clock. Stay tuned. Fresh Air is next.